every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, fourth Saturday of the month. That means we're at the Urban Farm with Farmer Greg. And we really don't need those sprinklers this morning. You can shut those off. We got a little bit of, let's save the water because it came out of the sky this week.
There you go. It was a nice little rain at about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon in the backyard of the Urban Farm. It was coming down pretty hard, and the sun was shining.
Those are always fun.
Those are always fun, yeah.
And you just stick your head out and smell the wet desert. It's just something we've got regenerative on here, and that rain regenerates my soul.
Yeah, big time. Well, you know, the curious thing, I didn't know this until a few years ago, but with the lightning, apparently the lightning activates nitrogen in the sky, and so then when it rains, it picks up the nitrogen. The rain picks up the nitrogen out of the sky and brings it down to our gardens.
And had a nice lightning show last night from our patio. Yeah. So beautiful, beautiful time of the year for Arizona. This is when getting through the last 3 weeks pays off. You get to enjoy the what a wet, moist Arizona monsoon feels like. It's enjoyable. Today's topic, you've got Forces Composting, but if you'd like to talk to Farmer Greg about your urban farm or ask questions, the topic is compost, but he can answer all kinds of questions about all urban farming.
Gardening,
fruit trees, animal care. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Text questions 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you need to snap a picture and send it, you can do it that way. Where are we starting on the compost?
Well, that's a good...
6 months ago?
Yeah, exactly. That's how long it takes to make compost. Really the big conversation that I get a lot from a lot of people is, I've got kitchen scraps and I want to compost. And we're going to kind of boil that down. If you want to compost and you just have kitchen scraps, you don't want to compost. You want to do something other than composting, because generally composting is known as thermophilic or hot composting. And you need lots and lots and lots of organic matter in order to make that happen. And most households just don't have that. So
organic matter. You could go to your local dairy and pick up lots of organic matter.
that could absolutely work. Goat poop is great for that. Leaves and kitchen scraps. And I actually pick up, I'm on my way out of here today to go pick up probably 10 buckets of food scraps from a restaurant that I use in my composting system. So
perfect. Everything the kitchen has left over. This isn't stuff that made it to a plate and then done. This is what's left in the kitchen from preparing.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. So I want, and we're going to get to a lot of that, but I want to really kind of distinguish the difference between non-regenerative composting and regenerative composting. And what I want to do first is I want to kind of decipher what regenerative means. And in our culture, we've taken on this banner in the past 20 years called sustainable. And sustainable is a nice step in the right direction. But in my world, sustainable simply sustains the mess we've created for ourselves. Because sustainability things, just they don't do anything to fix the problems. They just kind of push the problems off. And when I say that, if we're recycling plastic, there's not a big market for plastic right now. And what else could we do at our, at our house? We eliminate plastic as much as possible, and we use glass. So there's a lot of different ways to look at regenerative. The big way is that in our human system, what humanity has created, everything in my world around that is degenerative, which means that it breaks down over time. And it takes money, time, and energy to keep things up, like our roadways and our buildings and our cars. And this chair that I'm sitting at will eventually be trash. And so I call those degenerative systems. And regenerative systems, for regenerative systems, we look to nature and see how nature works with them. Because in nature, you get this circular thing going on, right? It's this system that just self-perpetuates itself. So for me, I look to permaculture. I like to call permaculture the art and science of working with nature. I like to look to nature to see what kind of systems, these circular systems or regenerative systems, we can capture. And what I study is called permaculture, and I implement permaculture at the urban farm. And so when I'm looking at my composting systems at the urban farm, it looks like this. So we have kitchen scraps from things that we've harvested out of the yard and, you know, the extra stuff that we have. We have three different households that bring us their kitchen scraps. Plus, as I mentioned, I have a restaurant that I collect food waste from, about 10 buckets a week.
I wasn't going to do it to you on air, but I'm going to get that name off air.
Okay.
You have ever have a big line of gardeners taking your secret resource.
Good. Good, good, good. So I've got all these green scraps that have, you know, that I accumulate. Plus, I have neighbors trained. They bring in the fall, they bring me their bags of leaves. So now I have my greens and my browns. And for me, regenerative composting at the urban farm looks like this. First of all, the chickens get first dibs on the green scraps. So we have chickens in the backyard. Chickens are great workers in the yard. They eat bugs, they eat weeds, they eat the kitchen scraps, and they poop and make nitrogen-rich fertilizer. So that's one way I compost at the urban farm. Second way I compost is with worms. I have worm composting. Third way I compost is with black soldier flies. So I do all three of these things before I ever get to actual traditional thermophilic composting. And then everything, the worms and the soldier flies, all that kind of focuses in on the end product, which is my compost pile. And then I harvest that compost out of the compost pile. I put it on the garden beds. It makes healthier, happier food. And the process starts all over again. So when I say regenerative, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this system that essentially feeds itself. And as a culture moving forward, as human beings, we need to figure out how to make as many of our systems as possible on the planet regenerative so that they build themselves.
And so I've known we've talked about worms an awful lot. What was the other fly one?
Black soldier flies.
Black soldier flies.
Where do you find those?
Well, interestingly enough, they just show up in a lot of cases. If you've ever had a compost bin, go to your phone or your computer and look up black soldier fly larvae. You've probably seen them in your compost bin.
And are they black or green or what color are they?
The grubs are gray. Uh-huh. And the flies themselves, they look more like a wasp, but you'll never see them inside. They hide underneath leaves, and they're solitary flies, and rarely will you ever see one.
Wow.
And the cool thing about black soldier flies is they will consume twice their weight in food waste every day. The end product for us is the chickens like the black soldier fly grubs. They go nuts over them. So it's a protein source for the chickens. And then you have just as with worms, you have worm castings or worm poop. With black soldier flies, you have black soldier flies poop, which is called frass in this case, which is a nutrient for your garden. Great question.
Black soldier flies, worms, chickens.
Yep. And then the compost pile.
And then the compost pile. And so how much do you have to constantly add to make sure you've got compost end product? You know, you're taking 50 pounds of kitchen scraps and leaves and everything. That breaks down to what, like 5 pounds of compost?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So the big thing, and this is we'll talk segment four now, actually. We usually touch on this in segment four. And the big thing is that if you're going to hot compost or thermophilic compost, it's a It's a process. It is a extensive process, and you need a lot of organic matter. You know those 15-gallon tree tubs? If you're going to do a successful thermophilic composting project, you really, in order to make it go forward, you need about 30 or 40 tubs of stuff that size. That's a lot of organic matter. The where I do thermophilic composting out in my yard is in pallets. So I take, you know, the 4x4 pallets, uh-huh, and I stand them up on their side, and I make a U-shape out of them. And then I put the compost in, and I put a pallet on the front. So when I am hot composting at the urban farm, my pile is 4x4x4. That is 64 cubic feet of organic matter. And the cool thing is when I fill it, so I filled it 2 weeks ago. I filled my compost bin 2 weeks ago, and I filled it to the top of the 4 feet.
Down when about a quarter already?
Half. It's down to 2 feet.
Wow.
So what I do for the thermophilic composting at the urban farm is I have all these leaves saved up and sticks and that kind of stuff. That's our browns. And then as the greens come in from the restaurant and from the people that bring us the compost, as the greens come in, I put a layer of that on, and then I put a layer of browns. And over the course of the next week or so, I'll fill it back up to 4 feet. And then guess what? In 2 weeks, it'll be back down to about 2 feet. It breaks down that fast. And to do a good job of your thermophilic composting, it does take 6 months. You know, you want to aerate and water the pile and, you know, all that.
And we'll talk more about that and composting and your questions at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When you hear the auto attendant answer, just press 1 to bypass that message, and that'll put you right into the studio.